Good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's Ag Sector Council.
This is Judy Payne. I am now the ICT Advisor for Agriculture in USAID's Bureau for Food Security. I've been at USAID for a few years now, but now I've finally officially joined the Bureau of Food Security. So I'm focusing on the use of information technology to help our Feed the Future projects reach further and have improved impact by the use of ICT. ICT means everything from mobile applications to low-cost video, TV, and even the web, if that makes sense, and of course radio. ICT, of course, can be used in many ways in agriculture, from extension services to strengthening relationships in the value chain, to accessing better information when it is needed, such as weather and price and where to deliver your harvest, also in managing farms and farm associations and agribusinesses. This webinar is focusing on warehouse receipts and the use of ICT in them. It's really the first in a series of webinars I'm going to moderate over the next year or so. They will not all be in the Ag Sector Council seminar series, but you'll be able to see them posted in AgriLinks whenever we plan one. And if you have some topics you want to cover first rather than second or third, please send me an email and I will see if we can schedule those. We'll have a mix of practitioners and we'll also have some lively discussion, I hope, that continues beyond the webinar. Today we're going to relook at the topic of warehouse receipts.
My name is Scott Haller and I will be talking about warehouse receipts and the development credit authority engagement with them. I am a portfolio manager for the DCA in the Eastern and Southern Africa portfolios. And I'm going to start, I think, today with a little brief overview of what the DCA is, for those of you who aren't aware of it. And then I'm going to talk very broadly about warehouse receipts in general and follow that with a specific look at the DCA engagement with warehouse receipt systems and give an update on a program in Tanzania that we actually presented on a few years ago. So the DCA, the Development Credit Authority, we're a small team that works within USAID and with USAID missions to encourage access to finance to underserved sectors of the economy. And we do this by working with missions and local lending institutions to identify groups of target borrowers and offer lenders a risk-sharing agreement, which is usually in the form of a 50% guarantee, for credit offered to those target borrowers. So, for example, we can make an agreement with Banco Oportunidad in Mozambique and that says for every dollar that they lend to smallholder farmers, we guarantee 50 cents of any loss, and we repay them that in case of a default. So this lowers their risk and it incentivizes them to enter new markets or groups that need financing, and hopefully in a sustainable way. So warehouse receipts, you know, what are they? Essentially, they're just a document. They're a piece of paper or an electronic document that identifies the owner, the location, the quantity, and the quality of an amount of yield or inventory that's being held in a warehouse somewhere. The way the system basically works is that an apex farming group or a cooperative purchase harvest yield directly from smallholder producers at a guaranteed price. They aggregate the inventory, place it in a secure warehouse to be certified, and then with that certification comes a warehouse receipt, which essentially itself becomes an asset that can be taken to the open market, to commodities exchanges, it can be taken to the bank and used for collateral on loans. And you know, what are the benefits of the system? Well, first of all, it gives smallholder farmers an opportunity to access more markets further away. It can be taken into commodities exchanges directly and essentially lower the transaction costs for borrowers and improve opportunity for smallholder farmers as a group to seek out more buyers and seek out the best price. But there's also other benefits just in improving the warehouse system in general. And of course, this is loss reduction in the field to improve yield quantities. It lengthens the sales window for smallholder farmers, and it really turns them from price takers into price makers. The asset of the warehouse receipt gives them an opportunity to find top prices and negotiate for themselves. And once the system is developed, the more it's relied upon and the more reliable it becomes, the more trust goes into the system, and therefore the more buyers will come and the more the market will grow. So there's a few optimum factors for warehouse receipt programs that, the DCA has seen and other partners have seen that are required for success. And in the interest of time, I won't go into too much detail, but I've divided them here into system support and market support. And very generally, what we see is that we need acceptance, recognition of the value of the warehouse receipt system, and understanding of both how the system itself works and of the market that it's working within. And in addition, you need the infrastructure. You need the physical infrastructure, and you need the legislative infrastructure. So what we're saying is, both on the market side and the system side, you need the enabling environment to be there. Financing is one element, but you also need transportation infrastructure, warehousing infrastructure. You need standardization across the market for quality and for weights, an appeals system. All of these things are required to be there for the warehouse system to work. So where does DCA itself engage? Well, I just spoke about the legislative side that needs to be there. Also, of course, technical assistance needs to be there. The capacity of farmers themselves to understand the system and for the cooperatives to understand the warehousing program and how it works. Also, capacity for the banks to understand how the system works, how they're going to be repaid, and what the timelines are. But the DCA itself engages in the financing portion, which is required for working capital loans and purchasing of stocks and things like that. So there's a few different opportunities for the DCA loan guarantees to help facilitate this warehouse receipt system. One way is pre-harvest financing. That's for working capital of smallholder producers, so for production imports, for transportation infrastructure, for registration or for construction of warehouses, security of warehouses, things like that. And in the actual purchasing level, at the time of actual purchase, when the cooperative or the Apex group goes out and purchases the stocks and the yield from the farmers themselves, we can actually guarantee the loans that go into that purchase. So that allows the Apex groups to go in and purchase the stock in the front end and then put it in the warehouse, aggregate it, and earn that certified warehouse receipt to then take into the open market. So what is the specific DCA experience? There's three examples that I'll talk about. The first two are Uganda and Zambia, and I'll talk about them first. The reason I've chosen these two to talk about together is that there's a lot of similarities in our experience. And first of all, there are both three-year guarantees, which is a fairly short guarantee tenor as far as most of our programming goes. It was $17 million total of guaranteed capital that could have been lent. And together with these two guarantees, they ended in 2007 and 2008 respectively, we saw very little utilization from the banks. The banks were unwilling to actually lend to the warehouse receipt system, to the farming groups in grain, specifically in these cases, for a number of reasons. And one of those reasons is that there was capacity on both the bank side and the farmer side in understanding the market and understanding how the system worked. There was no buy-in, and there was too little support service. There was too little technical assistance going into it. In addition, the legislative infrastructure wasn't quite there. For example, warehouse receipt laws weren't there. Understanding of pricing wasn't quite there. There were very thin margins, and so it was seemed too risky even under the guarantee to engage in. And so really here's an example of what I was talking about before with the enabling environment. The enabling environment needed to be there for the financing portion to work and for lending to occur. And it was summarized very well by my colleague Kofi, who was a former portfolio manager himself and current investment officer at DCA. In short, the conditions were not in place to successfully bridge the knowledge gap that would help transform the marketplace to accept warehouse receipts as viable collateral. The bank's willingness to disperse funds against warehouse receipts in a timely manner is dependent on the creation of just such an environment. So the third example is Tanzania. This is an update we did previously present on Tanzania when the guarantee was just getting underway. So what are the results and how is it set up? So the design itself, it was a 10-year deal, a 10-year risk-sharing agreement with CRDB Bank for $20 million of total lending to agriculture value chains in general. And initially, you see right off the bat that the 10-year tenor is different from the 3-year tenor, and this gave the bank some time to adjust its lending product and understand the market that it was engaging in. And the way the system was supposed to work is that initially, AMCOs were to be organized and technical assistance was to be given to them. And the AMCOs were agriculture marketing cooperative societies. These were cooperative groups that were to aggregate the actual stock and represent the smallholder farmers with the warehouse receipts. So initially, the organization was to take place. After that, the AMCOs went to purchase the stock from the smallholder farmers at 70% of the predetermined farm gate price. They were to aggregate those into the warehouse, and then they were to earn the receipts at that point. Finally, the AMCOs were to take the warehouse receipts to open auction to find buyers. After the purchase, the AMCOs would take 30%, repay the 30% that they owed the farmers, and then any profit on top of that, distribute 60% after paying back the loan to their actual members. And you can see on this slide the actual structure right there, and you can see at which point the DCA engages. So what were the results of this Tanzanian product? Well, first of all, unlike Uganda and Zambia, there was full utilization. And there was a specific focus, of course, on the warehouse receipt systems in this deal in the Lindi region in cashew nuts. And of that $20 million that was to go to the overall agricultural value chain, $9.2 million went directly to the AMCOs that were in the Lindi region for the cashew nut warehousing system. 49 AMCOs total were engaged and lent to, and that's approximately about 5,000 to 6,000 farmers when you aggregate the number. There was an improved system. The actual warehouse receipt system was improved during this process. The farm gate pricing that was being used for those initial purchases from the farmers, they weren't market-based. And through this engagement, through the guarantee, CRDB Bank, with the Apex Groups and the AMCOs, actually engaged the government to change the way the pricing worked to make it more effective. They also initiated a law that's now been signed into practice that requires the purchasers at the auction to provide down payments so they can't abandon the stock, essentially, in the warehouse once they've agreed to buy it, because there was an issue where some of the buyers walked away from the deal, sort of leaving the AMCOs without a buyer. We also saw bank success. CRDB was able to revive the Lindi branch, which was closing before this guarantee was provided. And sustainability in the process. So the bank, actually, beyond the guarantee, once the guarantee was fully utilized and without a new guarantee, committed $24 million to the cashew nut sector. They also rolled out this AMCOS warehouse receipt system to other regions, to two other regions beyond Lindi. And in 2009, we saw a very good return going back to the members after the sale at auction. So what was different and what was similar between Tanzania, Uganda, and Zambia? Well, there was similarity in the price issue. In Tanzania, the farm gate prices weren't being set at the market level. In Uganda and Zambia, prices were fluctuating, they were unpredictable, and there was little understanding of how to manage that actual price risk on the bank side and the farmer side. There was also limited understanding on the government side. In Uganda and Zambia, we saw it at all levels. In Tanzania, we specifically saw it at the local government level. There are also issues with producer expectations on the prices that they could get on the open market and the speed at which they could be repaid. There's also transportation constraints in all three scenarios. Transportation, getting the stock, getting the yield to the warehouses in the first place, and after purchase, getting it to the buyers. And also capacity issue, capacity development, and technical assistance needed to be interjected at the farmer level, at the cooperative level, and at the bank level in all scenarios. And we saw to greater effectiveness in Tanzania. So what was different? Well, the bank buy-in was different. CRDB, as a partner, was fully engaged. They were driving the strategy. They accepted the full risk on the receipt. They understood the market, and they led the technical assistance, which was very important. They had a mobile unit that actually went out and engaged the farmers in the field. They engaged the AMCOs at the warehousing level, and they helped them not only in understanding the system, but also in financial management and in actual warehousing management itself, pest control, humidity control, etc. They even helped the AMCOs find buyers when they couldn't at the auctions. They also engaged the environment, the government, which was totally unique. The bank, like I said, worked with the AMCOs groups to actually change policy in the warehouse receipt system at the pricing level, at the in terms of down payments, at the auctions, and really just working and driving the improvement of the system itself. So looking ahead, you know, what have we learned? Well, we've learned that at Access to Finance from the DCA experience is just one piece of a much larger puzzle. You need that infrastructure there, both the physical infrastructure of the warehouses, the proximity of the warehouses to the farmers is very critical, transportation infrastructure. You also need the legislative infrastructure to be there. You need the laws and the books, and you need the buy-in of the certification process. You need the buy-in and trust of the appeals process. You need all these things in place really to make an effective warehouse receipt system. And what's the evolution of the idea? Well, I think there's, you know, it can be an emphasis on the tradability and transferability of the warehouse receipts, improving commodity exchanges as an outlet and as a location to find buyers and to market those warehouse receipts for the farmers. Transparency is critical, and we're going to see improvements there. I think, you know, as technology improves, receipt databases, e-warehousing, which we're going to hear about in a moment, all of these things are going to help, I think, to make this a more fluid process, a more efficient process, and a more transparent process. And, of course, DCA, as an organization that can offer loan guarantees, we hopefully will be interjecting guarantees to free up capital throughout the entire system, whether it's for technical assistance providers, whether it's banks who are offering loans to farmers who are engaged in the system, or to companies that are helping to make the system more more modern, more effective with mobile solutions, etc. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Scott. Erin, are you ready?
So my name is Erin Connor. I work for Grameen Foundation, and today I'll just be sharing a bit about a pilot we're implementing here in Kenya, where we're bringing the warehouse receipt system to smallholder farmers through the use of technology. So we have funding from USAID's MPEP group to develop and test methodology for an e-warehouse, where we essentially connect farmers to information services and training on post-harvest storage and management, financing against the grain that they're storing, and then ultimately to larger scale buyers and markets. It's a two-year funding, and we're in our second year now. We're working in close collaboration with an agricultural NGO here in Kenya called Farm Concern International. They work exclusively with smallholder farmers to help organize them and build capacity and essentially commercialize villages and build them up as trading blocks. We're working with them to leverage their existing network and methodology to deliver technology solutions that provide farmers with additional training and information and financing. So I'm going to start just by profiling a typical farmer that's registered in our e-warehouse. Jennifer has 2 acres. We collect poverty data using our Progress Out of Poverty Index, and so we know that there's an 84% likelihood that she's living below the 250 a day poverty line. She grows maize and beans, and in her last harvest, she harvested 8 bags. These are 90 kilo bags. Of those, she kept half for household consumption and sold the remaining 4 about a month later at the local market. She did store the 4 bags at home in plastic bags until she sold it in the local market. So presumably she held out as long as she could until there were immediate cash flow needs that required her selling her grain. She never received any training on post-harvest management, had never taken out a loan, and when asked what her top 3 information needs were, she cited post-harvest handling, market information, and pest management. So Jennifer's situation is really illustrative, I think, of the common challenges facing smallholder farmers in Kenya and pretty much globally. And the three key challenges we see are inadequate crop storage. So for Jennifer, with only 4 bags to store, she didn't really have access. She didn't have she didn't meet the minimum volume requirement to participate in a larger physical warehouse, but had never received any training or information on how to store grain properly at home or at a group level. Estimates are that 30% to 40% of grain that is stored at home is lost due to spoilage and infestation. And there are some easy tips and information that farmers can follow to help ensure the quality is maintained of their grain while they store it. The next is lack of access to financial services. At harvest time, prices are lowest. If they wait just a few months, they can sell their grain at prices about 50% higher. But many of the smallholders just really don't have access to the type of financing that would allow them to smooth their income over a few months and benefit from much higher prices. And then limited market access. Jennifer had only 4 bags to sell, so ended up selling at a local market. Many sell through brokers, and so they just they don't benefit from higher prices as a result of group bulking and selling. And so the e-warehouse solutions are really customized to address these three needs through access to information, training on how to store your grain properly, even if it is at the household level, connecting these farmers to financial institutions that can provide advances against the grain that they're storing, and then aggregating the information that we have stored in a database to help farmers collectively bulk and sell. So how it works, we work, as I said, with Farm Concern through a network of what we call village knowledge workers, or VKWs, who are farmers and trusted leaders within the community. We equip them with smartphones, which has information, agronomic information downloaded onto it. We've also customized Farm Concern's curriculum on post-harvest storage and management, and have digitized that and made it available on the mobile phone so that these VKWs can provide information and training to their fellow farmers. The phones also serve as a two-way information flow. So not only do they disseminate information and training to farmers, but they're able to collect information from the farmers as well. And so if a farmer is interested in participating and accessing the training and potential financing, they register with a VKW. And so on the right-hand corner here, you see the farmer registration survey. So when a farmer registers, the VKW collects a wide range of information, demographic information, poverty data, national ID, phone number. And then they also collect baseline information to understand what they've done in the past, whether they've accessed credit or information before. And so in that first slide where I profiled Jennifer's situation, all of that data, including the photo, I pulled out from our e-warehouse, which is the back-end database where all of these surveys feed into. Going to the next slide, at harvest time, you see e-warehouse here. That is really a virtual warehouse or a back-end database that we manage on the Salesforce platform. And so when we register a farmer, that creates a farmer record in e-warehouse. And then at harvest time, the VKW collects information from the farmer on quantity and quality of the grain that they're storing, along with the GPS stamp so we know where the grain is stored. They have moisture meters, so they measure the content and enter that into the e-warehouse. If it's not within an acceptable range, they can't enter it into the e-warehouse. At that time, they're also asked if they're interested in taking a loan. If they are, there's a couple additional questions. That goes into the e-warehouse system. And then the idea is we're building the integration between our database and the financial service provider system so they can extract the relevant farmer details they need in order to make a credit decision and then issue an advance directly to the farmer over mobile money transfer of up to 50% of the value of the grain at harvest time. Then during the storage period, which is typically about 3 months, there's a number of measures we've put in place to monitor the grain that's being stored. The grain can be stored at the household level, group, or village level. So there's obviously a number of checks and balances we need to put in place to minimize the risk of side selling. One is a group guarantee with the financing. Another is the VKWs have a survey that they collect, which is essentially a shorter harvest survey to update the quantity and quality of the grain that's being stored. And then we mobilize the farmer groups as well that Farm Concern works with to check on the grain. During that period, we're monitoring the market prices and sending fortnightly SMS updates to the farmers that have harvest information in our e-warehouse so that they can monitor the price increases. And at that same time, Farm Concern is monitoring the prices, identifying buyers. They have visibility into the aggregate amount of grain that's being stored in these commercial villages through the e-warehouse. And then at sale time, when the buyer agrees on an amount and price, the farmers collectively physically bulk their grain and bring it to a collection point where the buyer meets them, and then the buyer deposits the payment into an e-warehouse account. And based on the sales details collected by the VKW at sale time and the information we have through the integration with the financial institution system on the outstanding loan balances, we, within the e-warehouse, can determine the farmer allocation. And from that, we make payment directly back to the financial institution on behalf of the farmers to repay their loans. And they're the first to be repaid. And then we repay the farmer the remaining balance over M-Pesa or mobile money. Also, at when the sales survey is deposited, it triggers an SMS that is sent to the farmer to confirm the sale. It says, you know, you've sold this much at this price. This much will be repaid to the financial institution on your behalf, and you can expect to be repaid this much over M-Pesa within the next 48 hours. So that is the concept. We have developed and tested most of it. It's a very complex and innovative concept and has therefore been pretty challenging in implementing. What we have done is recruited the VKWs. We're piloting this in 30 villages, so we have 30 village knowledge workers that have been recruited and trained. We've developed or really taken a lot of content from existing sources as well as FCI's training and digitized that, delivered the information through the VKW network. We've developed and these customized mobile survey applications using our TerraWorks platform and the e-warehouse database and the integration between the surveys and the database. We've registered over 5,000 farmers in the e-warehouse and have detailed baseline information on all of those farmers. We've also developed a financial product and extended these in select commercial villages. This by far has been the biggest challenge. So we partnered with a financial institution. The one we started with pulled out just a couple months before harvest as they were bought out by another company and went in a different strategic direction. Then we partnered with another and there just really wasn't time. So in terms of developing technology solutions for ag, when you're tied to harvest timelines, it can be a big challenge. With maize harvest in Kenya, it happens twice a year, every 6 months. So if you don't have something right the first time or the product ready to go, you have to wait another 6 months before you can really test it out. So that's been a limitation for us with this project. Tied to that is just that we were overly ambitious in trying to develop a fully integrated model that's incredibly complex all at once and wanting it to be delivered kind of as this integrated model at the onset. In hindsight, we really should have staggered the development of the technology as well as the products we were offering on the ground. In developing or introducing an ICT for ag project, we really needed to be more mindful and intentional about change management and working with our implementation partners, the financial institution, the agricultural NGO, in making sure that when technology replaced a lot of processes or roles that people played, there needed to be more comprehensive training and communication about what that meant for staff and how to really support these changes in technology appropriately. We also found that there's tremendous demand for more affordable and secure storage facilities at the village level. With this project, we went into it really wanting to support home-level storage and provide more training to farmers on following better practices to ensure the quality during storage period, and found that no one's really comfortable with home storage, including the farmers themselves. no one wanted to guarantee loans for fellow farmers that were storing at home. And if given the choice, they would much prefer a village-level storage facility that's accessible and affordable to them. On the financial sustainability side, we've developed a financial model for the e-warehouse, but at this point it's pretty hypothetical, and it's assuming we can generate revenue from a few different sources, such as the financial institution, buyers, input suppliers, when we introduce that component. But that's really on us to prove the value before we can actually charge fees and generate revenue. Also, in working with the financial service provider, we also thought that the potential volume and commercial viability of the project would be enough to entice them to participate, and found that with one partner, when they saw that the volume was not going to be that big that harvest, they reallocated resources to another project. And to really ensure that the project does have the commitment and resources needed to ensure success, a budget built in for the financial service provider, I think, is really important until there's profitability that's been proven. And then lastly, we incorporated human-centered design into the development of the financial product, but we're not as rigorous in applying user-centered design in the technology development or the agricultural services. And I think we could have saved ourselves a lot of time and effort if we'd done that from the very beginning, gone to the field, met with the farmers, made sure that throughout the time we're developing the technology and extending the services, that we're checking in and making sure that they're developed in the way that they need and delivered in the way that they need. So these have been some key lessons for us that will certainly inform how we'll move forward with eWarehouse version 2.0.